By way of introduction, I'm not going to give my whole testimony again. I think most of you have probably heard it a couple times. But many of you that do know my story know my main preaching experience. I spend a lot of time in prison, you know. And when I was first doing that, I kind of felt like I stuck out. It's like, here's this, you know, kind of awfully pale guy standing in the prison trying to relate. So I'm not really into rap music, but I thought, you know what, to give my testimony, I put this together. So bear with me and just listen. This will tell you who I am. Born in Nebraska, I rode a lot of horses. Moved to Michigan because my wife did well in courses. Trimming some trees, I fell on my head. Found myself living at Mary Freebed. God healed my body and my mind. A new calling in life I was happy to find. Now I'm a pastor, all credentialed and cool. Learning his word is my number one tool. I preach and I teach whenever I'm asked. Reflecting his love is my number one task. Yeah, the guys in prison liked it. You know, can I set this on your piano? Oh, I'm just going to see if it made any noise. Actually, everybody grab your Bible. Let's do our Bible declaration. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I will be taught the word of God. I boldly confess, my mind is alert, my heart is receptive. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the word of God. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, let's go. I love that. I always feel like Joel Osteen when I'm doing that. Or Wes, you know. You know, I so love your pastor. I got to tell you, I've only been a pastor for about 3.5 years. I used to be a rancher and a farmer and did a bunch of different things before. And, you know, I felt called to the ministry like my little testimony there. You know, I broke my neck and I was laying in Mary Freebed for several months. And I was all strapped down and I couldn't do anything. And the doctor came in and said, you know, you have to do something to get your brain working again. And I felt like saying, what makes you think it ever worked in the first place? But anyway, I started reading the Bible, and he said, you know, you ought to take an online class or something. That'll help with your traumatic brain injury and all that. And so I started taking master's degree classes in Bible. And so I ended up graduating. But what's so funny, I watch Pastor Wes a lot because I love the way he preaches. I mean, the guy just has, how can you be that buff, all tatted up, and just really get down to the solid knowledge of the word? But I love the way he teaches. And he's so good, he goes so deep into the Greek. And when I was doing my studies, when I got all my credentials and everything, it's like, you know, the right thing to do if you're a really smart guy is to dig deep down, understand what the Greek means, you know? And that's the guys that use the NASB or the New King James Version. Sorry, I preach out of the NLT, you know? And that doesn't stand for New Lazy Translation, okay? I had somebody tell me that once, or it's like, well, you just don't want to read the Greek. No, I just want to read. And keep in mind, where I preach most of the time, it's pretty good if I can just get it in any language that they understand. You know, so today, what I always like to do when I come here, and I do, I feel so at home here. I'm going to do my best. I haven't checked with my wife on our schedule, but I'm going to do my best to be here at your 25th anniversary, because this has become a special place to me. I'm kind of like your substitute teacher. I've been here a few times. Let's go back. I know Pastor Wes has been preaching out of Galatians 5, and that's where I want to start today, because what I'm going to share with you out of God's word today is the overcoming power. That overcoming power. But let's start with back where you guys have been going the last couple weeks. Let me read Galatians 5, but I'm going to read it out of the NLT, so it might sound a little bit different. I'm starting with verse 19. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. Let's go on. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. So when you, those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Let us not become conceited or provoke one another or be jealous of one another. Wow, that is such a powerful scripture. I mean, there's so many things in there that I want to talk about. But I got to tell you that there's two pieces that really touch my heart. We'll start with the tough one. When you read that and it says, if you do these things, you will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. Why are you in church? Everything we live as believers, everything we do, everything we believe, the tithing that you do, the money that you just gave, the ability to pray for each other, all of that comes down to one core belief, the blessed assurance that you believe that you will, that this body's going to fade away. And if you get run over walking out of this building and this is your last day on earth, that you will inherit the kingdom of heaven. So why on earth would you let those lustful, fleshful things take that gift away? Now, the other thing in that scripture that I want to talk about just real briefly, and you know, one of the things I love about the ministry God's called me to do, I think any pastor loves, you know, when you get to see somebody accept Christ. And I've been able to, you know, it's not me. I'm going to make that real clear. I'm not the one. The Holy Spirit shows up. Half the time, I don't know what I'm going to say. The other half the time, I have really good notes and I don't follow them anyway. And I like to think that's the Holy Spirit. But I also want to tell you what it's like when you preach in prison and 20 guys come forward. There's nothing I've ever done that feels like that. And why I'm telling you about that real quickly, that whole piece in verse 24, they're nailed to the cross. It doesn't matter who you've been, what you've done. You know, I've gotten to be friends with a couple murderers. There are guys that I would trust with anything at this point, because I know who they are now. I don't need to know who they were when they committed the stuff that got them into the position they're in. Because when you take that sin and you nail it on the cross, and that blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for you washes over that, it's gone. In Psalms, it tells us it's as far as the east is from the west. Maybe that's a dramatic example, but there's probably somebody in here that's dealing with things on a different scale. Maybe it's not things, not crimes, not anything like that. Maybe it's just doubt. You're like, I'm only here because my wife wants me to be here. I'm only here because my mom gets really mad if I don't go. Doesn't matter what those are, that blood of Jesus Christ was shed to wash those sins away so that you can live in that joy. Okay, you know, it's just amazing that power that we have, and that we're ultimately saved through that power. I want to share Romans 10:9. Most of you probably know this. If not, this is one of the verses, You know, I'm not great at memorization, but I'll tell you what, if you're going to remember a couple verses, this is one you should memorize. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. As the scriptures tell us, anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. So what's that ultimate power source? You know, in Galatians, we talked about those things that can make you be separated from that saving power of Christ. But what's the ultimate power source that you can get through what you live through in this life? You know, I'm not here doing my testimony today, but I think about it every time I share a message about where you've been. Everybody in here has a story. You know, maybe you didn't break your neck. Maybe you didn't, you know, maybe you didn't get a heal. One of the most powerful things Pastor Wes ever did in my life, when I was a brand new pastor, and he was nice enough to invite me here, and I was still healing from a lot of my physical stuff. And he told me a little bit about him having a stroke, and he said, you know, sometimes the healing comes through the healing. Amen. You don't know how that changed my life. That little comment, because you think, okay, God, wait a minute. I think I'm doing everything I'm supposed to be doing. I'm checking all the boxes. Here I am. I'm tithing. I'm doing this, I believe. And I broke my neck. That wasn't supposed to happen. But I got to tell you, when I look back on it now, I look back on it and I think, and I won't know till I get to heaven, but I look back on it and I think, did somebody sitting in that audience the day I was guest pastor for Pastor West, did somebody's life get changed because what the Holy Spirit spoke through me? Did some guy sitting in prison in Muskegon maybe change his life because the Holy Spirit spoke through me because I understood that the healing comes through the healing? All right, well, let's keep going here. The greatest source of power is God's word. Y'all know that. The ultimate source of power is God's word, but I heard it over here earlier. The greatest source of power is God's word with the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is going to help you to understand things that you can't normally understand, no matter what version of the Bible you're learning from. The Holy Spirit is going to make things so real. Turn with me to 2 Timothy 14:14-17. I want to read that. But you must remain faithful to the things you have been taught. You know they are true. You know you can trust those who taught you. You have been taught the Holy Scriptures from childhood, and they have given you the wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trusting in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us what to do, what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip us, his people, to do every good work. I love that scripture. And by the way, I don't know if any of you do Bible quiz. My family, big part of our family's life has been junior Bible quiz. My wife's like the ultimate junior Bible quiz coach. That's a 30-point question, so you got to know that. But what I want to share out of that is those joys and that guide and the, what God's word does in your life to guide you. You know, I always get a kick out of watching the news sometimes and just how hard it is for them to not acknowledge God in all these things. You know, it's like you look at it and, you know, or if you watch some of the science descriptions and they're describing the different things in nature and how miraculous that is, you know, how it had to evolve over 50 billion years. No, God said, you know what, that'd be cool, poof, okay? Well, I want to share a little bit of how I see those verses from 2 Timothy, how I've seen them lived out with my family. Some of you know a little bit about my family. My second son, his name's Justice. That's a Bible name. You can look it up. But my second son, even when he was a senior in high school, was just, you know, really wanted to go into the military. And I'm like, okay, that helps pay for college. We're good, you know. Just don't do anything scary, right? You know where this is going. So what's he do? He gets in ROTC, does all these competitions, was just really excelling in everything he did. So, you know, then he graduates. He's a second lieutenant. He says, Dad, I'm going to Ranger school. So my son, you know, my cute little curly-haired baby boy, he bops off to Georgia, goes to Ranger school, becomes a Ranger. And then I'm talking to him, and he says, well, Dad, I'm going to go to Pathfinder school. Now, if there's any veterans in here, I'm probably losing part of the crowd because a lot of people know what an Army Ranger is. Anybody that's watched a Rambo movie, okay, you got that. Pathfinder is first in, last out. Pathfinder is who goes in first, rappels in, and takes the flags and marks the spot for the helicopter to land for the rest of the guys to come. That's my son. I'm very proud of him. But why I bring him up today isn't for me just to brag on my great kids. I bring that up because it made this scripture so real to me. You know, if you talk to my son about a mission, what's the first thing he's going to do if he's going to go jump out of a helicopter? He's going to make sure somebody brought a rope to rappel on. He's going to make sure somebody ties the end of that rope to something inside the helicopter. If he's doing a mission at night, he's going to make sure he has night vision goggles and that they work and they have a battery in them. So as we walk through this life, what guidebook are we using? You know, there's a lot of people that don't do anything. It's just whatever happens to me, happens to me. Can you imagine if somebody in my son's situation did that? Said, gosh, I hope somebody tied that rappelling rope. I'm going to grab it and jump out. Wouldn't be very smart, would it? So why would we live this life without that kind of knowledge of what's going on? And that's that ultimate power. All those things that we need to shy away from, all those things that can mess up your life, you have the power with the power of the Holy Spirit. You have the tools to overcome that, to avoid that. When you ask the Holy Spirit to guide your life, you're going to have that. That's the ultimate source of power. Using the tools God's given us as blood-bought believers, we are saved through the grace of the shed blood of Christ, and we become a powerful community together. You know, one of the great things about a great church like this is you have each other. You know, I know you probably have members of your church that aren't here today because maybe they live in a retirement center. Maybe they're not feeling well. But they still are a part of this body. And as there's brand new believers that come to Christ and they're looking for a place to touch that power source, that's why we have churches. That's why you're a part of this body, so that you can reach out and be a part of those people. So let's go to Ephesians 2. I'm going to start with verse 8. God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus, so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. You know, you're not doing the good things to get into heaven. But the good things you do is a reflection of Christ in you. Just remember that. Let's go on with verse 13. But now you have been united with Christ Jesus. Once you were far away from God, but now you have been brought near to him through the blood of Christ. For Christ himself has brought peace to us. He united Jews and Gentiles into one people when in his own body on the cross, he broke down the wall of hostility that separated us. You know, when you think about that, think about our world today. Oh man, we have a lot of division. And what I want to challenge you with is even people that you know they're not where they need to be with Christ. You know, what we're taught as Christians is you reach out and you love them anyway. And I'll tell you, that can get really challenging, especially with family. You know what? There's probably a parent or two sitting in here that's going, man, I haven't talked to my kid because I can't deal with who he's become. You know what? God's given you the power through these verses, through the Holy Spirit, to reach out and love that kid no matter where they are. And if they reject you, walk away from you, you go right after them. Because God put you in their lives. All right. You know, when I think about those words in Ephesians, I love to think about just the culture that Paul wrote that in. I mean, Paul's one of my favorite Bible people because he kind of reminds me of me. I mean, you know, he was this other guy. I mean, I never really persecuted Christians or chased them, certainly didn't kill any of them. But, you know, I wasn't the good guy. But then, I mean, in large part through the relationship with my wife that I started seeing this power and this peace that where does this come from? And then you realize what it is and who it is. And you fall down and accept it. But think about this. When Paul was writing most of the New Testament, that was only about 50 years after Christ ascended back to heaven. So just think about this with me for a minute. You know, we look at a lot of the Bible and you think, well, that was, you know, it was thousands of years ago. But put yourself in Paul's shoes when he is writing this. For us, that'd be 1974. I love 1974. Now, I'm showing my age a little bit because I remember 1974. I remember it very well. One of the most favorite cars I ever owned was a 1974 AMX. It was blue. It had a silver dash. It was the coolest car I ever dreamed of. That was 50 years ago. I mean, it was old when I had it, but it was new 50 years ago. The TV shows? You want to know what I watch when I watch TV? I watch TV shows from 1974. Cannon is one of my favorite shows. Again, I'm kind of a car guy. I love the old Lincolns he drove. That one and Mannix, you know? I was so thrilled when I found Friendly TV. It doesn't have bad stuff, and it's got shows like Mannix and Cannon. I mean, my point is, those shows were 50 years ago. Whoa. So when Paul was writing this, it was all still fresh. I mean, yeah, Paul wasn't one of the disciples. He wasn't there cruising around when all this happened. But it wasn't that long ago. It was a time in their history that could just, you still knew those people. They were still around. So Paul wrote that as a letter of encouragement to the church to help unite a fractured society. You know, we're seeing this in the news every day. On one point, you'll hear how separated we are, how crazy some of the persecution of the church has become. But at the same time, you hear of revivals. I just saw one in California the other day on CBN News where there was 25,000 people walking in a, you know, proclaiming the name of Christ. I saw one in Paris the other day. Let's tell you what, folks, if you can't see the signs of the end times, here it is. And I'm not telling you it's going to happen next week. I'm not going to tell you it's connected to any political thing, because anybody that tells you that hasn't read the whole Bible, because we don't know. But we live every day like it's tomorrow. And that makes everything different. Matthew 5:17, Christ taught us Don't misunderstand why I have come. I did not come to abolish the law of Moses, the writings of the prophets. I came to accomplish their purpose. I love that verse because that's when you may need to reach out somebody that doesn't look like you, doesn't smell like you, but that is because your purpose, all those things, all those rules that are in the Bible, Jesus didn't tell us to throw them out. What he said was, you're going to love your neighbor as yourself, and you're going to reach out to these people, and that is that purpose. Matthew 5:13, you are the salt of the earth, but what good is salt if it lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It'll be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. So you're not doing things as a Christian, as a Christ follower filled with the Holy Spirit. You're not doing things like loving people that may hate you. You're not doing things like reaching out to that wayward kid or other family member. You're reaching out to them because that's the reflection of Christ. That reflection of Christ is the biggest witness you can ever give. And as you make that reflection, may not be today, may not be tomorrow. I think I probably have shared this story. One of the guys that witnessed to me, you know, I was a bouncer in a bar when I was in college. I mean, I worked part-time for Miller Brewery. And there was this guy, Mike Drake, sweet little guy. He was about 5'4", spindly little nerdy guy. And I remember he came into my room at the fraternity and he's like, John, do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? And at the time, I was pretty buff. I mean, maybe not Pastor West buff, but I mean, I was competitive arm wrestler. I did all these strength things. And I just kind of looked at him and I said, Mike, just get out of my room right now. But to this day, I remember that conversation. Wimpy little nerdy Mike walked into my room and asked me if I knew Jesus. I didn't, nothing happened right then, but it planted a seed in my head. I wrote him a letter about 10 or 15 years later after I had accepted Christ. I wrote Mike a letter and said, hey, thanks for walking into my room. Now, you may never get a letter like that, but what's more important, someday you're going to walk into heaven. And you're going to walk into heaven and you're going to be greeted by people that you had no idea you had an impact on if you don't hide your light under a bushel. And what the word tells us is there's nothing in this earth. All those things that we talked about back in Galatians, all those things that can come against us and threaten us, God's word, the Holy Spirit, will help you get over those. You know, I just want to kind of wrap back up. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5, 1 and 2. This is one of my favorite verses. For we know that the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed. We have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling. So you're living in that tent that is this earthly life. The wind is beating on it. The wind is blowing it. Your keys are falling in the river. Maybe you got a bad doctor report. Maybe you got things going on with your kids that aren't great. Maybe it's financial stuff. The wind is blowing against your tent, trying to rip it down. But we have that blessed assurance that says, don't worry, this tent is temporary. This tent is temporary, and it's going to go by. You know, as I kind of start wrapping up here, I want to talk a little bit about famous last words. You know, one of the things that is powerful to me, 2 Timothy was Paul wrote that in prison in Rome. Now he can't go out and do his stuff anymore because he knows that things aren't looking good for him. So he writes to the people that he's been able to help. Writes some letters. Most of those letters are our sacred scriptures now. But he's writing to those people and he's telling them, so how important are these things as he was coming in for a landing with his life? But when I think about what Pastor Wes has been teaching you guys about those issues, those things to stay away from, it always makes me think of a story somebody told me one time about the guy that's on the Empire State Building and big wind comes up and blows him off. And you realize that as he's fallen, he may think he has some issues. And he goes by the 47th floor and he goes, well, I'm not doing so bad, you know. 47th floor, look at me, I'm still breathing. But you know what's going to happen? He's not going to be doing so well when he meets the pavement. But he wasn't dead when he went by the 47th floor. 46, 45, 44. You know? It's a way to look at our life sometimes. We don't know what day we're going to end. We don't know if it'll be today. The day I went out and was trimming trees on my deck, how many of you would think, oh gosh, John, you better be prayed up because you're going out with a pole saw on a second floor deck to trim a branch. Oh my goodness, Neil, pray, be ready. I heard the deck start to creak. Did I drop to my knees and kneel and pray? No, I probably said something that I shouldn't have said. I don't really remember. But I heard the deck crack and creak, and then it tipped. And then I lived at Mary Freebed for a long time. But the point is, we never know. So if we're anchored every single day in God's Word with the power of the Holy Spirit, it doesn't matter. You know, when you get that bad news from the doctor, yeah, we can be healed by his stripes. I have experienced a miraculous healing. When I was in the hospital, I could not tilt my head up. I was told that I should be happy that I wasn't dead. I literally have had a doctor tell me that at least 3 times. Don't complain, you're not dead and you can walk. But I always had to drink out of a straw because my head only went up this far. One night I was at men's group. This is where the church and the group of people that are around you and pray with you and love with you. When they laid hands on me, all of a sudden I felt and I could look up. I'll never forget that night because the guys in my men's group were looking at me like I was nuts, and I'm like, there's 153. And I said, there's 153 ceiling tiles, because I was doing the math, counting them, because I couldn't believe I could see them. That was a miracle. Some, you know, why did somebody else not get healed? You know, I always struggle with that because, you know, the church that I'm a member of, Grand Rapids First, great big church, Pastor Sam, he's one of the most gifted pastors I've ever heard. And his daughter died of cancer. We all prayed. We prayed. We had so much stuff. She died. It's not our will. You know, is there somebody that's going to be in heaven because Sarah Reifkugel, life was cut short, but through that testimony of how Pastor Sam and his wife still continue to praise their Savior, is that going to change a life? I believe that it will, and it'll make a difference. You know, as I wrap up here, I want to just talk a little bit about having the swagger of living with that Holy Spirit in you. You know, I don't know if anybody in here's ever done competitive stuff. I'm sure you have. But it's like, I remember when I used to do arm wrestling tournaments. And, you know, the first time I entered one, I didn't think I was going to win. No, just some farm ranch kid. I lifted hay bales. But I went and I won and I beat some people that were like supposedly really good at this. And I beat them pretty easy. And I remember thinking, oh, So this is something that God gave me that I can be good at. I don't really know why or what good it does, but I remember how that felt. From that day, every time I went to go enter another arm wrestling tournament, I started knowing that I was probably going to win. I remember being in a national tournament in Milwaukee, and I thought, okay, you better calm it down. These guys' arms are bigger than your legs. And I remember this one guy, he came up, and he was like, you know, doing the stuff like on a movie. He's like, foo, 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 foo. And I'm just standing there like, you know, and I had my girlfriend's T-shirt on that said, you know, Lexington Girls Track. And I'm just standing there kind of waiting for this guy to get over his thing. And his arms were humongous, you know, so they put us in the thing. And I, in my mind, I'll admit, I was thinking, okay, I just don't want to get hurt. Let's get this over with. And all at once, I remember that feeling. Because it went, and then I thought, oh, I can beat this guy. And I did. But the only reason I share that story with you, when you are going through something, health, finances, whatever, when those winds are banging against your tent, when you're arm wrestling with the devil and it's over here and you're going, wait a minute, I can beat you. I have that power. Maybe I didn't think I could, but yeah, I can do this. And I got to tell you, there's one thing about arm wrestling that I miss is when, especially if you're over here and then all of a sudden you do this and the crowd starts cheering. Well, can you imagine the angels in heaven? When you've been going through something, maybe it's health, maybe it's money, whatever, and you're over here and it starts going, and it's like that old Carmen song, The Champion. I love that song. You should play that on your 25th anniversary. All right. Last thing I want to talk about today is something that's really, really precious to me. I've told you multiple times, I've only been a pastor about 3.5 years. I never really felt called to like try to get a church. You know, I'm not that kind of pastor. I love to come and speak. I love what I do in the prisons. And what I do at Grand Rapids First is I'm a visitation minister. So when somebody goes to the hospital and they call the church and say, hey, can somebody come pray? I get a text and I go. And I will tell you, I didn't see this part of it coming. Because, you know, I had pastors come see me when I was in the hospital, when I was a kid. Growing up in the Lutheran church out in the middle of nowhere, yeah, people, you know, that was part of the pastor's job. But what I didn't see coming is what I call my last pastor list. It's probably one of the most precious things I have. Because as a pastor, you get to do all kinds of cool things in people's life. You're going to baptize people. That's really, really cool. You get to dedicate little babies. You know, that the parents are standing up here telling all the people that they're going to raise this child in the way of the Lord. That's pretty cool. I never thought about being a last pastor. Didn't even know there was such a thing. You think about it? Well, when you go to a great big church like I do, you know, I mean, Pastor Sam would never get anything done to preach like he preaches if he had to go see everybody that was in the hospital in a church of 4,000 people. And I'm not saying I go see them all, I don't. But I will tell you some of the stories I can share with you from being blessed that God called me to be in a position to be with somebody as they exit. You know? Love doing a baby dedication. You know, it's like the Lion King. Here's the baby. What about the 90, or one case, I had a lady that was 101. She used to tell me the highlight of her week was when I would show up. Got another lady that the care home she lived in, they had to come running in one day because she screams praise Jesus every time I go in to see her. I got to tell you, if that doesn't touch your heart, I don't know what does. Praise Jesus! Pastor John's here! Praise Jesus! You know, I'm not even that good of a pastor, but I'm here. And she knows that I will be there. I'll probably speak at her funeral. So why do I bring all that up in this context of all these things? Are any of you dead? I guess. I'm just checking. You probably got some good EMTs around, and you know, so you wouldn't be even if something happened. But I'm assuming you're not dead. I have sat, one of my favorite stories about being a last pastor, there's this guy that, he was like a big shot at our church. I mean, he had been a deacon and elder, and as he got older, he kind of faded away, and, you know, I started visiting him when he was in the hospital. And I remember I went to see him one afternoon because he wasn't doing very well, and he looked at me and he said, "You know, Pastor John, even if I can't talk some of the times you're here, I know you're here. And I know you're praying for me. And I know that the Holy Spirit is in me." And we had this great talk. And he had a daughter that they just did not get along. We tried and tried. And his daughter, because he was doing so well that afternoon, after he and I prayed, I said, "Call your daughter. Call your daughter. You're doing really well today. You're up. You're alert. Call your daughter." Called his daughter, talked to her on the phone, hung up and died. Now, did God do that? I don't know. But just like Josh could see his keys when that water calmed down, do you think that's a fluke? Do you think it's a fluke that I went to see that guy that day, that hour, and that the Holy Spirit impressed on me to tell him to call his daughter? The calm water, and you see the keys shining. That's a whole lot like your life. You know, I can go on and on with some of those stories. I won't. Maybe just one more quick one. I had a lady that I had been visiting on behalf of the church. I got to be really good friends with her and her husband. And she was fighting a battle with dementia and all kinds of, this is bad, my pages are stuck together. But I went to see her, and I went to see them both. And we're sitting there in their kitchen, and I was talking to her husband, and I said, "You know, help me understand. You know, how much does she still comprehend? How much going on?" And because she would just kind of sit there with her head down and kind of babble. And he said, "Pastor John, ask her if she knows Jesus." So I did. I went over to her wheelchair and I said, Pat, it's Pastor John. "Do you know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior?" She pops her head up and she says, "Absolutely." She put her head back down, died a couple weeks later. Where are you at with your life, folks? You know, there's no doubt in my mind that somebody here today is here because you're here to make somebody else in your family happy. You know, I think back when my kids were young and we'd make them go to church. There's times when I, you know, we didn't handcuff them ever, you know. But they maybe didn't want to be there. But I just want to share with you, just as I wrap up today, the most important thing you will ever do is accept Christ as your personal Savior. It isn't going to matter what you become in your career, what you own, what you don't own. It ain't going to matter if you're healthy or sick or if you break your neck or whatever. What's going to matter is the day your life is over. And like I said, that could be today. The day your life is over and you walk into that gate where Jesus Christ and, you know, all this glory, are they going to know you or not? That's why we don't give up on our kids. That's why we don't give up on people that God puts in our life. You know, my wife was actually going to come today, but it didn't work out. One of the things I so admire about my wife's an attorney. She's been through a lot of big, powerful stuff. I mean, you would recognize some of the people my wife has done legal work for. But I tell you what, the most powerful thing I've ever seen my wife do is when the CEO's kid has cancer. And he's flown him in their private jet all over the world, and he still finds out that that kid's not going to live. And I've watched my wife be in a position in a corporate boardroom to touch the life and plant the seed of Jesus Christ that nobody else is ever going to get in that room. But because she was so good in school that she could get the grades she got, that she could work at the law firm she's worked at, she was able to touch lives that nobody else can touch. Praise God. You know, and I'm throwing that out as a challenge to you. Because everybody in here, there's somebody in your life. Maybe it's family, maybe it's not. Maybe you've got some big fancy corporate job. Maybe you don't have any job. God still is going to calm that water so you can see the keys. I'm going to use that the rest of my life. That's such a good one. You think about that. The rough, bubbly water, and it calms down, and you can see the end. You can see the keys. All right. You know, and by way of that, I just want to point out to one more thing. It doesn't matter where you've been. You know, this is something I always stress with the guys in prison. You know, if you've been a murderer, if you've done whatever, it doesn't matter. When you accept Christ, it doesn't matter who you were. That blood of Christ, just like we read back in the verse, that blood of Christ comes over you. I always picture that sin nailed to the cross, the blood running out of Jesus' side, running over that little note of what you pinned on there, and it's gone. And if you're the person that got drugged to church today by your parents or by your wife or your husband, you know what? There is a joy living in Christ that is you cannot explain. I have lived through stuff in my life that just would make a lot of people, including me, just go, why? Why do I even want to live anymore? But I'll tell you what, when you realize Christ died for you, Christ shed his blood for you, and it's not just that heaven that we're going to live in, that ultimate goal, that place that we're going for eternity, it's what the rest of this life feels like. I bet if I went through the room and everybody in here would raise your hand and say, when you accepted Christ, did your life get better? When you accepted Christ, did all the problems go away? No, they didn't. But all of a sudden, that water is calm and you can see the end. And you know that you will have that peace. And you can overcome it. All right, well, you know, I never preach anywhere without doing my best to steal Joyce Meyer's closing prayer. So I'm going to pray, and as I wrap up today with this prayer, you know, again, if I'm reaching out and it's tugging on your heartstrings because who is this guy? We want Pastor Wes back. Well, he'll be back next week, but I tell you what, I think the Holy Spirit, God knew that there was a reason for me to be here today. And there might be somebody, and I'm not going to point at you. I'm not going to come and say, oh, the Holy Spirit told me it was you. There might be somebody here that you've been struggling with a lot of hard things. Maybe some of the stuff I commented on touched a little too close to home. Maybe it's about kids. Maybe it's about stuff that you're wrapped up in that nobody knows about but you. But you want that lifted off of you. Today's the day. You know, there's nothing you could do that would make your family happier than to see you accept Christ, because they know the peace that's going to come in your life because they've experienced it. So if you join me in this prayer, why don't you stand up with me and just I want to give this prayer as a way of closing. And as I pray this prayer, I want you to think about, is today the day? And if it is, I'm going to be right here. If today's the day you want to make a difference in your life, you want to feel that stuff come off, or maybe you've got a child or a family member that you want to come stand in this place and believe for their healing, their salvation, you come down here and pray with me. And I will be right here, and we will pray together, and we will believe. And if today's the day you give your life to the Lord, your life will never be the same. So repeat this with me. Father God, I love you. Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you died for me. Jesus, you paid for my sins. I need you in my life. Come and live in me. Forgive me. Save me. Take me as your own. Jesus, I receive you now. Take me just the way I am. Now make me what you want me to be. I surrender my life to you. I am a new creation in you. Thank you for loving me.
Thank you for loving me.
Amen. If you prayed that prayer, or if that's the first time you prayed a prayer where you opened your heart to Christ, your life's going to be different. And if you want to, you come down here and pray with me. I'm going to turn it over to Josh, and I want to thank you for letting me be a guest in your wonderful house of the Lord again. Like I've said, you got a great pastor. And I'll be here in the future, I assume. But if today's your special day to find Christ, don't ignore it. Come down and celebrate.
I've tried so hard.